Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
This message that I am going to speak today, the time frame that I have will not do it justice. This is a topic that I hope to not just gloss over, my attempt is going to be to set you on a path, one that potentially many of you are already on and walking through, and it would be my endeavor then to encourage you. Hopefully, though, there are some of you in here that have not necessarily done what I'm about to embark on for the next 40 minutes, 30 minutes. And this is going to hopefully start you on a path to something that I believe is essential to our walk as Christians, and that is freedom. I do not take it lightly at all that when Nick came up to pray this morning, instead of going into what is the traditional that we all know, into the praying for a nation, praying for another church, praying for a ministry here, he changed things up a bit, and he talked about something that he's going to be doing, that he's been doing here for quite a while here at the church, and the idea of bringing people together to pray. But he started off by saying that he wants people to look into the mirror and say, I am restored because he has restored me. I am forgiven because he has forgiven me. I am whole because he has made me whole. I am beautiful because he's beautiful. I am perfect because he's perfect. And when he got down to the end of that, and I had no idea this morning when he stood up in first service and did that, that he was going to go in that direction. And ultimately, this would be the potential direction, if it were, that my message was going in. He ended that by saying, and if you feel like that's too much, you feel like you can't do that, then you need to just come and we're just going to pray. By no means am what I'm going to talk to you about this morning just going to be a mind over matter kind of thing. I'm not here to propagate to you Eastern mysticism or just pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I'm here this morning to help you hopefully embark, if you've not already been embarked, if you maybe were embarked at one time and you came off the path, the trail, help you get back on, help you to embark on something that is only done through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. That same power that raised Christ up from the dead is now alive in you, and it is the connecting of us with that in truth that helps us fight the lies that keeps us in bondage. I am standing before you. I know I've already preached this message once this morning. I've taken the last couple of weeks to write this and put this all together. I preached it to myself late last night in my bedroom and got saved. No, I'm just teasing, but there were things even as I was running through it, and I was polishing and nipping and tucking and doing whatever, where I just, again, what I have been saying for myself, walking through with myself for over 20 years now, day after day, sometimes falling flat on my face and not being successful at all, and others coming up to a mountaintop where the success is unparalleled in my life. The bottom line is this is not easy. This is not just something that I'll just do this and it's all going to be okay. We are in a battle against a very real enemy who is in charge of against a very real kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And we have been called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. And when we side with that truth, when we walk in these truths and we allow these truths to supplant the lies, then the victory, the freedom that we have is unparalleled. None of that's in my notes, so I've already used up like 6 of my minutes. We better pray. I better get started. Heavenly Father, I lift this group of people, this second service. Some are here for the second time, but most are not. And so, Lord, I lift this group of people up to you. I am absolutely convinced that you desire to pour out upon them your love, your faithfulness, your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, your insight, your freedom. I am absolutely convinced by your word that that is a passion of yours. I pray then, O Lord, that we would receive it. That we would cooperate with the power of your Spirit. We would cooperate with the truth of your word. Because that truth that we know will set us free. I pray that we would receive it. I pray that in each of us, in our individual space, in our individual place, with dealing with individuals outside of us, dealing with situations that may seem beyond us, whatever the case may be, that we would allow you to minister to us right where we're at. In your name I pray. Amen. I do not want this for one second to feel like this is a collective end all for everyone. Just do it this way. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, over the next X number of minutes here, is I'm going to take you down through how I processed through this and how I, over these last 20 plus years, as these things were given into my life, these principles and these precepts were put into my life, as I begin to fashion them for me, I'm going to pass that on to you. You are then going to have to take it, allowing the Holy Spirit to individualize it for you, and not only individualize it for you, but individualize it for each and every specific person and situation that you deal with. Because we hear these grand ideas, God is good and God is love and all these types of things. And yet we know that all during our day, there is a different dynamic every moment, all day long. And though obviously the truth supersedes all of those dynamics, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to help you in each one of those dynamics to do it the way he's called you to do it in that situation with that specific person. Yeah, I seem to be getting some, I feel like I'm in a fishbowl, which means I probably should. They do that, so they forced me back up on the stage, which I can't stand being on the stage, but that's okay. So let me give you an example. Let me give you an example before we run in. I'm not even going to get to my thing. Do we have these yet, by the way? Ay. I'm blowing it and that either. If you do not have one of these, I know a few of you, a couple of you do, please hold your hand up. They're coming around right now to give you one of these. Take out your pencil. Take out your pen. If you don't have a pencil or a pen, then cut the tip of your finger off and use your blood. Because you're going to want to write this stuff down, I promise you. I promise you. And not because it's from me, but because I believe it's truth from the Word of God. So as you're getting those papers, and please don't turn over to the back. I know some of you are already in the back trying to fill the blanks out. I need you to practice some self-control here. Flip it back over to the front. I know you're twitching right now, but you can do it. I stand up and I speak in front of 10 people. I speak in front of hundreds of people. I speak in front of thousands of people. The ability to do that, not that I ever haven't, you know, quaked a little bit and been a little bit nervous. Certainly that has been the case. But for the most part, I really, really like talking, and I really, really like talking to a lot of people. There's just something in me that just sets my juices going. It doesn't have to, it can be 5 people. It can be 500 people. It can be 5,000. It sometimes can even be only one person, as long as you will listen. I really like talking, and I really like talking to a lot of people. And most of you that have been here for a while, you know that because I've preached here on and off. Some of you have come to hear me speak in other places and you know, bigger crowds or whatever that means and all of this kind of stuff. In fact, the bigger the crowd, kind of the more excited I get. I say that not to brag or pat myself on the back at all, but to say to you that I struggled for years with self-worth. Struggled for years with, was I going to be able to measure up? Was I going to be successful? Oh, I wore the correct persona. I could fake it in front of everyone and make it look, you know, whether I was playing a sport and winning or standing up in front of a bunch of people. But the bottom line is there was always this deep down nagging lie, if I'm going to be honest with myself, a lie that said that I wasn't enough. I will say to you, even the moments leading up to this morning, even the moments leading up to right now, some of those old thoughts creep back in that I'm going to mess something up, that I'm going to fail. Hey, the fear of failure was a very real thing. And I've had two people in my life who have spoken endlessly into my life. Good and positive things. I have been very blessed in that. And the biggest blessing though is that these two people, not that they themselves spoke in, but they spoke into my life the truth because they kept pointing me back to the Father. And those two people are my wife and my father, my dad. I want to make it clear that these two individuals are extremely confident individuals. Those of you that know my wife, she's been mayor of this city, and the list just keeps on going and going. Extremely confident in who she is. My dad was the same way. So in light of that, I didn't measure up, but they would speak that into me. They would speak those truths into me, and they would continually not just say them, but point me in the direction of the Father. Point me in the direction of the Word of God. I am eternally grateful to the both of them. There are many others who have done that. And so over the years, I have allowed God, I believe, to kind of help me put this together in the way that I'm going to try to communicate it to you this morning. The theme for today's message is there in your notes. I will choose is the title. The theme is that Jesus will interfere with you. If you allow him to, Jesus will interfere with you, killing the old you and replacing you with himself. This is about a revolution. I know we're getting ready to do our New Year's resolutions and we're going to make our promises and come up with these things. And you and I both know that these resolutions only last until January 2nd. And so I'm not here today to talk about resolutions. I'm here to talk about a revolution. A revolution is something that is violent. A revolution is something that turns something else over and it's done and we move on to something new. Jesus is not in the business of propping you up, not in the business of propping me up. He is in the business of interfering with us, with me, with you, killing the old you, killing the old me, and replacing us with himself. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia and says it this way. If you have a Bible, that's great. You can turn to Galatians chapter 2. If you have your phone and you're bringing it up on your phone, fabulous as well. What's going to come up on the screen is the Passion Translation. So if you want to follow along with me in the Passion, you can look up. If you want to highlight it in your Bible or do whatever you can do it there. But Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, Paul says it this way. He says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. My old identity, the old me, no longer lives. For the nails of his, Jesus, the Messiah, his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. You are no longer yours. I am no longer mine. If I buy into this Christianity, if I buy into this following of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is a killing of myself. I am crucified with Christ. That is no, this life is no longer mine. And here's the last line. For the anointed one, Jesus, the anointed one, is living his life through me. You see, this is not about mind over matter. This is not about pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. Jason, I'm depressed, and I've been depressed for a long time, and I just don't, you know, and are you going to just give me another one of these yee-haw, rahu messages today? Just stand a little stronger and get out of that depression. Not at all. Not at all. Because for you and whatever you're going through, that depression and that discouragement and that overwhelmedness is overbearing and overwhelming. And there has to be some validity in this, this thing that we are walking out. And what Paul says here, that I, my life, my ways, the way I do things, who I am has been crucified with Christ. I am no longer alive. There is a spiritual entity to this, a truth that supersedes what we see in the natural, a truth that supersedes that, that brings us freedom. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. Whoa. Did everybody thought the rapture just come right there? I was like, man, I'm still here. That's not good. I looked out to see who else got sucked up too. And Bobby was still here. So I was like, well, it must be just the system. Because we all know he's the first one going. This is the way C.S. Lewis puts it right here in your notes. You ready? You want to read it with me? C.S. Lewis puts it this way. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. So I thought of these two things. How are we too easily pleased? Number one, letter A here on the front page. Please don't go over to the back yet. I know some of you, you're totally twitching and you feel like your pen already has the answers and you're writing like this backwards. Don't do it. We're not there yet. Still in the front with me. A, here's how we are too easily pleased. We are too easily pleased, A, by settling for fixing our soul's inconsolable longing on something other than God. Now, this can mean literally in a very general sense, somebody not coming to Christ, somebody not accepting the kingdom of light. You know, we're just, there's a cry in our soul. There's a passion deep calling under deep and we go find it elsewhere. We literally don't want God. Jesus, we're not buying into. It's a fake. It's a fraud. You know, it may be good for some, but I don't need that. And so this inconsolable longing that we all have at the core of who we are far too easily pleased because we're out doing sex and ambition and all these other things and drink and whatever else, you know, jobs or whatever. But I would also say that it's B. It's also B. It's for those who have believed that they have found God, that they've accepted Jesus Christ. Then maybe some areas of their life, man, God has captured them and it's awesome and it's amazing. But the bottom line is that ultimately God is still a distance off. We're unwilling to be drawn into His presence. We just sang a bunch of songs about the presence of God and how good His presence is. And I promise you, as have I many times, there were some of you right now, today, standing out there going, I don't really get this whole presence of God thing. What do people mean that it's good? And yet we have been in God's presence. You have been in God's presence probably far more than you even realize. But we are so easily pleased that we miss it. It zooms right past, whatever. We zoom right past it. Because we literally just don't want it. Or because we think we've got it maybe a little bit, but we don't really want to be drawn in. I would even say that these are in specific areas. There are some areas of our lives that, man, God's got a hold of. He's doing marvelous, amazing things. But then there's this other thing. Yeah, back here. No, don't touch that. Nobody else knows about this. I'm going to keep this secret. God, don't worry about that. And the enemy comes with the lies and he convinces us through the lies that that's the way that it should be. Sometimes we hold on to those things selfishly because we want to continue to dabble in. Sometimes we hold on to those things because we've been told for so long that that's the way that it is, that we don't know any other way. I would say that was my self-worth growing up. My inability to really truly understand who I was in God. And so there was this constant questioning of would I be successful or would I fail or would I make a mistake? And so, man, I was not risky. I did not take the chances. When God said step out in faith, I said absolutely not. And so this thing that God that Paul is talking about, that C.S. Lewis is talking about, this idea is a soul issue. It's a soul. I got dirt, by the way. Oh my gosh, it's heavy. dirt. I spilled dirt. Bobby, you weren't here first service when I spilled dirt and I called for you. Because you said if I was spilled anything, I needed to tell you right away. You didn't respond. So there's still dirt up here. So here's our soul. Here's the core of who we are. This little bucket. This is our heart. We ask Jesus into our hearts. We you know what I'm talking about, right? This is the essence of your being. This is not the outside body and all that goes on. This is your soul. This is the deep that calls to the deep. Peter puts it this way. You remember Peter? You guys know Peter, the disciple? You know, the guy that kept putting his foot in his mouth all the time, the big burly fisherman, you know, blah, 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 blah. The guy who denied Jesus three times and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Later on in his life, when he wrote the books of the Bible that he wrote, obviously they weren't books, they were letters when he wrote them. But you understand what I'm saying? He said, you are putting stuff in your soul that are at war with your soul. Why are you doing this? The things of the world, the things that people are telling you, the things you're telling yourself, the lies that the enemy is telling you. This is your soul. This is what calls out to God and God calls back. This is the heart of who you are, and you're filling it with stuff, with dirt. And please, if you love dirt, just think of dirt as bad. Okay, I know dirt's good, it grows things, yada yada, but for this moment you're gonna have to think it's bad, okay? Because I said it was. Okay. So we take this dirt and we fill it. I'm going to work really hard, Bobby, to not spill it on the floor like I did in the first service. And we fill, right on the new speaker. And we fill this. We fill our soul with the things of this earth, the things that we are too easily pleased with. And like C.S. Lewis said, I want to keep making mud pies when the Father is offering me this vacation at the ocean, and I just want to play in a mud puddle. And these are the ambitions and the things of this world, and the lies that we tell ourselves, and the lies that we allow other people to tell us, and the lies that we let the enemy, who is the deceiver of all and the father of all lies, fill our soul with, fill our depths with this dirt, so that when we get these nuggets of truth, when we get these gems, these nuggets of truth, when these are spoken into our life, whether through a Bible study or through a Sunday service or just in life, somebody is nice to us, somebody speaks good to us, whatever the case may be, these nuggets, these gems of truth, God wants to pour into our soul, and our soul is filled with stuff that they just fall out. Because at the core of who we are, we've allowed this junk to fill us up. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But man, that first line that lady sang, Lauren Daigle, these voices in my head. You know whose biggest dang voice is in my head? My own. I have to fight my own voice. Get out of my head. These are the truths of the Word of God. So why am I speaking this lie? Why am I doing this? And again, I don't believe for one second that this is just mind over matter. Please don't hear me saying this. That if you'll just try really hard and put both your feet down on the rock, then you'll be great. These are things that are going to be epic. Listen, if you've let the enemy fill you up with this, do you think he's going to give this up easily? It's going to be a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. A revolution. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I am crucified with Christ. It's a revolution. And so what I've done is I've, over the years, is I've just worked tirelessly to compile this and or list. tirelessly. Every time I feel that I've been told a lie, then I go and I find out what the antithesis of that lie is, and I claim that truth. And you say, well, you know, Jason, I mean, that's great. Does it really work? You know what? Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes I fall flat on my face. But I believe that as I continue to choose again and again and again that which is right, and when I don't choose what is right, when I choose what is wrong, when I choose the lie and I operate in that lie, that the moment that that's happening, or as quickly as possible ever, I'm on my knees saying, Lord, I blew that. I need you. I need your help. I have fallen to my predisposed human lunacy in believing the lie. I want what you have. And so what I've done is I've compiled this, and I'll tell you where it started. I'll never forget, I was at a church probably in my late 20s. My daughter was just little. By the way, my daughter's back here visiting. Maddie, if you say hi. And her husband, James. She got married, and I like him. He's okay, I guess. He took her a long ways away, and that's fine. It's okay. I'm almost over it, James. My son is sitting there as well, one of my sons. But Maddie was just a wee little, so it was late, my late 20s, and I'm in the altar praying with one of the pastors and talking to him about some things, and he says to me, you know, Jason, he said, I've made some boundaries in my life of these things are going to be, and I'm not going to let it. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this is good. It's good. You know, I'm all about lists and, you know, and working hard. I mean, you know, that's ABC, 1, 2, 3, we can do this. He said, and the very first one is this. He says, I have made a conscious decision that I'm going to fight with everything I'm worth, with the power of God in me, that nothing will steal my joy. And I went, great. Great, because you know what? I was depressed and I was discouraged and I was not, things weren't going well. I'm like, great. So he's got to start out with one that. But what also hit me is that he said, I'm making a choice. I'm making a decision on a regular basis again and again and again to side with the truth, to fight the lie with the truth. He said, and here's what my thought process is. The word of God says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so when I feel the strength being sucked out of me, he said, then man, I get into God's presence. I don't care how I do it. I don't care if I go find somebody to sing with, or I read my Bible, or I just go outside and just begin to, and think. He said, I don't care what it is, but I'm not going to let that joy be stolen, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I will not be sucked down into no strength. And I'm standing there going, and listen, not that I didn't know this. I was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian college, blah, 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 blah. But I'm standing there in that moment going, man, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Because you've got to be talking about something more than just, but because guess what? That doesn't work. Sometimes it does, but that doesn't work all the time. And I find myself in situations, and I find myself dealing with people, and whatever that are just, they're, it's, bah, I don't like you. And the situation is very overwhelming. And not only am I in the overwhelming situation, but then you got put in the situation, which made it even more overwhelming. And people actually say sometimes that I'm the problem. Well, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that's a lie. Do you see? And so I'm standing in the altar that day, and I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be, and again, not that I don't know it necessarily, but there's got to be something deeper than this that I'm just kind of muscling my way through. And so that's when we then come to this verse, which has essentially, you can turn your paper over now. Don't start filling in the blanks, though, because I promise you, you're going to get them wrong. You need me. But this verse at the top of the page on the back, this verse, I hope all of you have kind of a life verse. A life verse. My dad's life verse was, seek first the kingdom of God and then all these things will be added unto you. That was what my dad lived, breathed, died, up, down, mountains, everything. That was his verse, that he was going to unconditionally seek the kingdom of God first above everything else. This one here has become my life verse. I guess if you want to say it speaks volumes to me. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I hate bondage. I hate chains. Man, that stuff is repressive and I can't stand it. And so John 8:32, I'm going to take this one out of the New Living. Again, you can look it up in whatever Bible you're using or whatever your favorite one on your phone is, and you can read it there. But up here, we're looking at this out of the New Living Translation. This is Jesus, the Word, the life speaking. He said, I am truth. And this is what he said then, and this is Jesus speaking. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me ask you a question real quick. Don't answer if you're going to get it wrong. If you think you might get it wrong, don't answer. That's the old me, fear of failure. Does this verse say that the truth is going to set you free? Everybody say no. Everybody say it right now. No. Nobody said it. Thank you. It does not say that. It says the truth that you know will set you free. Does everybody see the difference? The truth is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. The Word of God is everywhere. But until you know it, until you grab a hold of it, until you declare it on a regular basis, until you do it again and again and again and again, cooperating with the Spirit in you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The same Spirit that lives in you is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Man, that's power. And when we know that and we stand on that, then that truth does what? Sets us free. The truth that I know sets me free. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have churches that are crippled and doing nothing in their communities. Because they know Jesus, they think. But the bottom line is that they don't know the truth. They're not free. And they are mired in the muck and the junk that they have allowed. Sorry, Bobby. And the muck and the mire that they have allowed to fill their soul. Peter said it. Why are you filling your things with your soul with the things that are at war with your soul? So what I've done, and I know I've got a video that I want to show. Whew, and we're smoking. We're going to smoke really fast. So get ready. Do you fill the blanks in already? Good, because I told you not to. We're going to fill them in right now. So what I've done is I've picked three. There are bazillions. I've picked three to show you what I'm talking about, to show you how I've done this over 20 plus years of doing this. And again, I'm not a master. I'm not perfect. This is not the only way to do this, but I'm demonstrating to you how I choose to do this. So I jump into the Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I'm going to pull this out of the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. You can follow along or you can follow along. You are God's chosen treasures. Oh my goodness gracious, right there in the first line, we could go on for 2 hours, but we're not going to because that's not my point. You are priests, you are kings, you're a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness. He has called you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light. Then let's start living like we're in the kingdom of light. Stop siding with darkness. So that you will experience His marvelous light. He now claims you as His very own. Woohoo! The Creator God claims me? That's amazing. He did this so that you would broadcast the glorious wonders throughout the world. Verse number 10, for at one time you were not His, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing about the mercy of God because you hadn't received it yet. But now, are you looking at this right here? I got to come down here so I'm nearer to you. Do you see this? Do you see what he says right here? Now you are drenched in mercy. Drenched in it. Overflowing. It's not this, he took this little dropper and said, okay, you know, I'm going to put this little squeeze in you now. And, you know, maybe if you need a little bit more later on, we'll talk about it in the next. He drenches us in mercy. And so what do we do on number one? What do we do on number one? We fill the blanks with this. Ready? Are they up here? There they are. So now here they are. I will choose light over darkness. I will choose light over darkness. Not because I've done anything, but because God has taken me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light. Therefore, I am going to stop operating in darkness. I'm going to stop siding with darkness.
I'm going to choose the light. Number two, then, I will choose. Well, number two. No, not number two. The second part of number one. I will choose mercy over hard-heartedness. Woo! We love mercy when it's for us, don't we? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Your mercies are new every morning. Your kindness is amazing. Oh, my goodness. And then we turn to that person. Choose my words wisely because Hal listens to these. That person at work, that person in our family, and we want to withhold mercy. Man, if we're drenched in mercy, how dare we withhold that? But when you withhold mercy, when you say, you know, this is the way it's going to be, you're not going to receive any kindness from me. You're not going to receive any goodness from me. You are siding with the enemy and you are choosing the lie. Now, you're going to say to me, Jason, you have no idea this person I'm dealing with. I don't. Jason, you have no idea the situation that I've been through. I don't. But you are fooling yourself if you think you're the only one that has been with that person and in that situation. Come on now. We all have those. In fact, I know this is going to be a shock to your system, but you may be one of those people. Somebody out there is like, yeah, maybe. Number two, because I got to roll. All I'm doing is showing you. I'm not going to sit and camp on these. Number two, John 3:16. Oh, what a great verse. You'll see it on some stadiums today when you watch football games this afternoon posted there. They won't tell you what it says. They'll just say John 3:16 like a heathen is supposed to figure out what that means. Soapbox getting off, going back to my message. Okay, John 3:16. For this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Here we are again with life. Are you choosing life? Are you choosing the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life? But here's what I get out of this one. Number two, I will choose love and generosity over hate and withholding. How dare I withhold any of this? Ladies and gentlemen, is it my mercy? No. Is it my life? No. Remember, I got crucified about 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. I got crucified. It's not my life anymore. It's not my mercy. It's not my love. It's not my forgiveness. It is nothing about me. This has been drenched onto me, poured onto me. And when I don't do it, when I choose to not do it, then I am siding with the lie. I am choosing to believe the lie, whether it's about other people and situations or whether it's about myself. Because here's what the truth is. And when I know the truth, when I side with the truth, when I walk with the truth, that my God loves me so much that he gave his Son. He poured out himself. How dare I withhold that? Well, Jason, I mean, I don't hate anybody. Okay. Okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly who I'm talking about. You know exactly the situation that I'm talking about. Yeah, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. Guess what? Neither do I. I'm just the dude standing up here. That's between you and the Holy Spirit to figure out what that means and what that looks like for that person, for that situation, and for yourself. Deuteronomy, oh my goodness. I had so many of these. Gosh, I could have done 1,000 of these, and I get every one, and I'm like, man, this is so good. It's the truth. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. We could stop right there. Because here's the antithesis of strong and courageous, being afraid and panicking. So right there you see an and or an or. Right there you see kingdom of light versus kingdom of darkness. Right there. And that's not even the one I'm going to use. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go on ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. How many times in your life, don't raise your hands, don't confess to your neighbor, how many times in your life have you gotten into the midst of something, maybe to the end of something, and you were like, you know what, I think God kept that ace up his sleeve. I don't think he played that card for me. Come on now. Because if he is all powerful, all knowing, all loving, and this is how it ended up? Yeah. And yet, what does this say right here? He'll never leave you, never forsake you, never abandon you. And so this is the truth then that we stand in. Number three, I will choose to believe that God is for me, not against me. Because the enemy is going to tell you, oh, that God that you love, that he did this, does he let this happen? What? That doesn't seem like love to me. Man, he said he was always going to be with you. He doesn't feel like he's with you right now. And we start inching and falling our way into the lie instead of again and again and again and again standing on the truth. I'm not asking you to do this alone. First of all, you're doing it because Christ is in you, in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then I'm encouraging you, get with people. The greatest thing the enemy can do in the midst of you falling into these lies is to get you to believe you're the only one. That you're in this all alone. Nobody else suffers with this. Nobody else has to go through this. And that is another lie from the pit of hell. This is when we bring people into our lives and we encourage them. They encourage us. We praise with them. They praise with us. We read the word together. We pray for each other. So here's how I want to end. Oh, I got to go through my list. I just couldn't stop myself because I can't. I just started making a list and typing it out. And then I stopped because I ran out of paper. And the people that were helping me with my outline were like, okay, seriously, you need to stop. This is going on too long, because I was trying to finish it up last night and all that. And then these two that were helping me were like bantering back and forth with me, and I was losing my patience with them. So one of them said, wait a minute, I see, Jason, that it says patience over irritability. Are you practicing that right now? Well, that was at like 10 o'clock last night. And so then I had to really get Jesus and get all over it. You ready? You looking at it? I'm just going to run down through these real quick. Victory over defeat. Healing over brokenness. Forgiveness over unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Love over hate and disdain. Joy over depression and discouragement. Patience over irritability. Life over death. Hope over hopelessness and despair. And the list goes on and on and on and on. What are you choosing? I will choose life over death. I will choose hope over hopelessness. Yeah, but Jason, I've been depressed for years. I can't seem to get out of it. I hear you. I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm not saying you just put your 2 feet down and go, well, come on, try harder. That's not what this is about. This is about surrendering on a regular basis to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We are far too easily swayed, far too easily pleased, far too easily bent in this direction when this is where freedom is. It's not the truth that sets you free, right? It's what? The truth that you know that sets you free. So the very last one there, put it into practice. Very last one, we're going to end it up. Psalm 139:14 in the Amplified. Psalm 139:14 in the Amplified. Let's go to that. This is the idea of praising and thanking, but do we have that verse? No? There it is. I thought we had it. I will. Father God, by the power that you have put in me, by the strength that you have given me, by the Spirit, by your Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead, I will give thanks and praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I want to end with this song that's going to come up on the screen, and then we're going to pray and be dismissed. This song, the words are a little blurry, but I at least then listen. But this is Jenny Owens. I don't know how many of you remember her, talking like Keith Green, Second Chapter of Acts, Michael Card. You know, she was in that whole time frame. But I found this song, and it really cannot sum up any better in this moment than what I'm trying to say. That in the top, at the top of the mountain, I'm going to praise you. In the valley where I don't hear you, I'm going to praise you. At the deepest place, I'm going to praise you, because it's in the deepness. It is my passion. It is my passion for you to find this freedom. whether it is specific, very, very specific, something maybe that has happened just in 2019 and you're looking to 2020 and you're kind of overwhelmed by that and whatever, or maybe it's something that has been happening in your life for years. People don't get to declare who you are. Your mom doesn't get to declare who you are. Your dad doesn't get to declare who you are. That little punk elementary kid that called you Kaler Failer again and again and again does not get to declare who you are. And yes, I didn't just make that up. That was legitimate. That husband, that wife, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that boss, those situations don't get to declare who you are. You are who he says you are. That is the truth. And his word is filled with that truth. And I'm not telling you that it's easy. Please, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I am not telling you that it is easy. A revolution is never easy. Satan does not quit. Satan does not give up. Satan does not let go easily. He's willing to fight to the end. Are you? I believe the answer is yes. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit that lives in you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You don't live in a kingdom of darkness anymore. You live in a kingdom of light. Heavenly Father, I pray, not that you would reveal these truths to us, not that you would give us your wisdom and your understanding. I believe, Father, that you're already doing that, that you are pouring out on your people your goodness, your kindness, your favor, your blessing, your love, your strength, your faith. You are pouring it out, your wisdom, your discernment, your healing, you are pouring it. The word says that we are drenched in these things. I pray that you would help us to not be so easily pleased, to not be so easily satisfied. But just as the song said, in the deep, we're going to praise you in the deep because that is where our eyes see the truth. Deep calls to deep. I pray for a revolution at the core of who each one of us is. Whether that's a very specific revolution dealing with a very specific thing, or whether it is a huge life change, I pray for that revolution. And everyone that agrees with me, would you please say amen and amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. 2020 is our year. Come on. Come on. Not that 2019 wasn't, but 2020 is our year. All right. Thank you, guys. We're going to put that song back on. If you'd put that song back on, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a happy new year.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.